Amen. I'm reading 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and the title of the message is Christian Fellowship. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You may be seated. The rest of the chapter ends with our necessity to confess the fact that we are a sinner and believe that Jesus Christ forgives us for our sin based upon His blood. I began to study the subject of Christian fellowship this past week, and it led me to some scriptures that I've never looked at in this way of thinking. It led me to the book of Acts, and we'll be going there later. But I took my Bible dictionary just to look up the plain and simple definition of what Christian fellowship is. And I want to give it to you. Fellowship in Scripture is a bond of common purpose and devotion. It is a close association. It is a good relationship. Christians have fellowship with one another and also with God through Christ and the Holy Ghost. That's the biblical or Bible dictionary that I have, definition of Christian fellowship. I could give you the long, drawn-out Greek meaning of it, but I think that pretty well covers it, doesn't it? We are gathered together for a purpose. We don't have to wonder, are we to be together? The Bible calls the church the body, and a body that's not together is separated, isn't it? A body that's fragmented is handicraft. So we don't want a handicapped body. All the parts need to be there. When we need to be in fellowship with one another. But our purpose, this is my definition of fellowship, is we're here to aid each other and ourselves in spiritual growth. We join a church that we might grow ourselves and be encouraged and prayed for by others. Isn't that what we desire? Should be. That we aid in the spiritual growth of ourselves and of others. That we are gathered together to glorify God, to worship God, and gathered together for the purpose of evangelism itself. That's what the church is here for. We're here primarily to glorify Jesus Christ, to exalt Him, and to lift Him up. Fellowship. Well, John tells us something here, that the one we fellowship with is absolute. Folks, listen. We are not here to try to find something common with some sort of myth, some sort of superstition, some sort of a mystical thing that we can't quite put our hands on it. I want you to understand that the primary one we fellowship with is Jesus Christ. And in this fellowship, it is certain. If you look at your Bible, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, John said, we have heard Him. We have seen him with our eyes. We have looked upon him, and our hands have handled him of the word of life. And you ever heard the statement, put your money where your mouth is? Well, John put his money where his mouth is. Better yet, he put his life on the line. And he suffered martyrdom, dear friend, not for a myth, not for a superstition, not for an old wives' tale. But he suffered martyrdom because he was absolutely sure that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Crucified on Calvary, buried and raised for our salvation. Friend, we have an assurance of a certain Savior. Amen? And we fellowship with Him, and He is why we fellowship with each other. You see, we are brought into fellowship by no accident. The brother's given us the testimony of the Word of God. Now look at this, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Oh. We are brought into fellowship by the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Amen. It is the gospel that brings us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. We cannot come to Him if we've never heard of Him. How shall they hear without a preacher? I believe Paul asked that question. And how shall they preach lest they be sent? Friend, all of us have beautiful feet if we've been saved because we have a message of glad tidings and peace that others need to hear. It is the fact of the gospel that we are brought into fellowship with the Father through the Son, and we are brought into fellowship with each other. You see, it is Christ's message that brings us into fellowship. Now let's take it one step further. It is Christ's fellowship that bonds us to each other. You see, we're bound. We are brought to the cross through the gospel. Friend, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, we can't look at the cross and not understand that He loves us. He does love us. But folks, it's that same love that's displayed upon the cross that bonds His people together. You see, we're all washed in the same blood. And may I say to you that if we hate one another and say we walk in fellowship with Him, the Bible says we're a liar and the truth is not in us. You see, it's love that brings us to Him, and it is this same love of God displayed on Calvary that bonds us together. Hey, I have a reason to forgive you. I have a reason to love you. I have a reason to respect you. I have a reason to desire fellowship with you. And it is because my Lord died upon the cross, and that love brings us together. That love bonds us together. And here's the beautiful truth. In that thing called fellowship, when we're right with God and we're right with each other, there is joy. You won't have it anywhere else. It's a spiritual joy. Well, let's read about it. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, I read, just for the sake of clarity of my own mind, I read the Westminster Short Catechism again this week. And it said the purpose of man is to enjoy God. I don't believe some of you got that yet. The whole purpose of man is to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. That's one of the articles. If you don't believe me, read it in the Westminster Short Confession of Faith. In fact, I think it's number one. You and I are to enjoy God and to enjoy one another. Coming to the house of God should never be a drudgery. You mean you ought to get up in the morning on Sunday morning, you know, singing, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Folks, if you don't want to be here, there's something wrong. Amen. And I suggest it's not anything wrong with Jesus. Fellowship. He said, in this thing called Christian fellowship, there is joy. These things write we unto you. What things? That we have a certain Savior, an absolute Redeemer. Not a myth, not something that's just been made up, but we have a real risen Savior, and He brings us together in love. And in that love, we express love to Him, and we fellowship with Him and with one another, and the love of God fills our heart. That's joy. What disrupts it? John moves on. He tells us what disrupts it. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, wait a minute. What disrupts my fellowship with God and what disrupts my fellowship with the church? Darkness. Y'all do love the Bible, don't you? It just says what it says and means what it means, and we don't have to worry about analyzing it. We just need to preach it and live by it. Amen. Darkness is sin. And if I'm not fellowshipping with God and with you, there's something wrong. If I don't have fellowship with God, I need to ask Him to show me, and most probably we already know. Hello? And if there's something wrong between us, we need to get it right. Because you see, that joy, we're going to miss out on it. That joy, unspeakable, that can only be found. We're not going to enjoy God. We're not going to enjoy one another. We're not going to enjoy being a Christian. Listen, I want to enjoy being a Christian, don't you? I want to just step from a life of spiritual joy here. When I lay this old flesh down, I just want to get some more of it over yonder. I don't have to grit my teeth to come to church. I want to come because God's here. Amen? And because I find a rejoicing in Him. Sin disrupts. Well, if sin disrupts, verse 6 says that, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If sin disrupts and darkness disrupts, that means we need to do the opposite of that, and that's called walking in the light. That's what he says right here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So friend, if sin disrupts, I need to spend a whole lot of quality time loving God and loving you. Amen? I need to forgive you. You need to forgive me. Amen. Not because we've gotten any better, but because he forgave us. Hello, it's always right. I need to respect you. Boy, that golden rule sure is true, isn't it? Do unto others as we'd have them what? Do unto us. Oh, friend, we don't need to walk in darkness. But if we walk in the light of His love and through His Word, fellowship is maintained. Now, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. And illustrating the point, I'm going to tell something on myself. I don't mind telling something on you, but I'm going to tell something on myself this morning. I don't really like to do this, but it's about walking in the light. Deer season was still open. Wasn't too long ago. And I had bought me a little light that goes, you seen the little light that goes on the belly of your cow? And of course, I had my crossbow across the shoulders, and I had my little stool I sat on in the other hand. And I was coming out of the woods, and I'd sit there just barely past legal shooting hours. And I was to meet a fellow at a certain place in the woods. We'd walked in, and I was walking out, and I was looking for him. And I kept looking because I knew where I was supposed to meet him at. And I kept watching for him, and I never could see his light, and I kept looking over. And I turned around and looked over that way to see if I could see him, and my foot hung under a limb, And I found myself laying belly flat on the wet, cold ground with a little bit of snow in it, with a crossbow laying across my back. Always look where the light is. And where the light is, walk in that light. And you'll stay standing up. That's simple, isn't it? Shine the light in front of you and walk in the light. I wonder why that's so hard to comprehend spiritually. I mean, I got a reminder of it when I busted the ground wide open. But folks, we have the light. Amen. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Word of God. His Word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Would it not be good if we looked at His light, walked in His light, and served Him in His light, and loved one another in His light, and fellowship with one another and with Him in His light? Wouldn't it be a joy? Amen. Well, way before we had manuals and study guides and textbooks and so on, stuff like that, and we had just one manual. It was the book of Acts. Turn there with me. I got a whole shelf full of books about the Bible. But I got one Bible. Amen. I'm going to live it. Second chapter, the book of Acts. I want to just look quickly at the pure fellowship of the early church. Chapter 2, verse 41. I mean, this is pure fellowship. Let's see if I can't define for you what they did. Best I can tell from studying the book of Acts, what they did when they came together. They came together and they prayed and they sang praises. They loved one another. Somebody taught God's word and they went home. Amen. That's the early church. We're about to read about it right here. But I want to say to you before I get into this, they took time for one another. How many of you realize we're living in a world that's going way too fast? Now, I'm going to confess something on myself again. Sometime I get caught up in it. Hurry here. What? Hurry there. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for that. Have you got caught in that yet? I have to tell me, we got 24 hours in a day, what's important. These people right here that I'm going to read to you about had time, listen to me, for God and for one another. And I'm going to tell you before I read it, we're suffering because we're caught up in this squirrel cage thing and we don't have time for the right stuff. Let me say it this way. We don't take time for the right thing. You see, this thing called fellowship is a relationship thing. Let me say that again. I didn't get the first amen. This thing called fellowship is a relationship thing. And it takes time to have one. Amen. Let me read it. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now folks, we want to jump down to 47. Last few words. We want the Lord to add to the church daily such as should be saved, don't we? But let's don't overlook something. He added the babes in Christ to a warm fellowship that could nurture them. Hello? That would cover them in love. That would nurture them in Christ Jesus. And they could live off the warmth that they felt. Hello, y'all with? Let me give you some things they had in common in this pure fellowship of the early church. First of all, they had a common belief. We see that because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in baptism. Folks, I don't know about you. Well, I hope I know about you because we baptized, we're part of the same church, but I believe the only way to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that through the virgin birth, substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I believe what if Acts 4 and 11 says, there's no other name given among men below heaven whereby we must be saved except at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the confession of my faith. My faith is in that. Oh, they had a pure fellowship. You say, what's that is important? Hey, I read the other day or saw it on the internet, actually it's on Sermon Audio, I'll tell you where it was, where there was somebody overseas promoting some sort of a conference to try to get Christianity and Islam reconciled. I will tell you, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And I can't fellowship with anything other than that. Amen. You better get ready to settle that in your own thinking. Amen. And fight the battle when it comes, because it is coming. They had a common table. Not only did they gather around the communion table, but I believe they had a common table where they sat and fellowshiped one with another. Can I tell you that the greatest disruption that's ever come to the family in the United States of America is brought there by the television set?
That's right.
We all sit there and watch that thing. The table was where communion between mom and dad, wasn't it? Do you remember that? If you do, you're 60 or above. I remember it well. Amen. They knew one another. They ate with one another. This is what this church did. They had time. Didn't matter what was on Wheel of Fortune, because there was no Wheel of Fortune. Had a common table. They had a common concern for one another. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if the church was just exuding in these very qualities right here? Wouldn't it? They had a common concern for each other. No, they didn't practice communism. Communism is where you're forced to give up everything for the sake of the government. That's not what you see here. They had a common concern about everybody there, and they were ready to sacrifice. They wept with those who wept. They rejoiced with those who rejoiced. That's what the church is supposed to do. They had a consistent attendance. 46. And they continued occasionally in the temple. Is that what it says? Daily. It's amazing what one word will do. With one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, Oh, friend, we can't jump down to the last few words of verse 47. We got to understand that evangelism grows out of a warm-hearted fellowship. And it doesn't carry on because that church has got a program and that program's in place. I want to tell you something. Evangelism ought just be as natural as this. One who loves Jesus Christ tells somebody else about Jesus Christ, and that one is saved because they fall in love with Him too. It's just that natural. Nothing wrong with going out on visitation. We need to do that. We do that. But I'll tell you, the church ought to just grow naturally. Because we can't shut up about Jesus. Amen. They had a consistent attendance. They didn't want to miss because they might miss something. They didn't want to miss. Well, let me back up there. They might miss a good something. I said they might miss something good. Amen. They didn't all gather there to see what's fixing to fly loose. But they gathered there because they love one another. They gathered there because they want to see God bless somebody. And then they had a continual natural evangelism. Verse 47. Praising God. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And I'm not going to add to the word of God, but if I was going to add to it, I'd put this in there. And the church accepted those that was added to it. Hello? We're talking about fellowship here. We're talking about where joy comes from. Well, I have pastored 34 years. And there is one stock classic answer I keep hearing over and over and over again when I visit people, talk to people about coming to church, talk about people that dropped out of church, talk to people, them hypocrites down there. They don't care nothing about me. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard them hypocrites down there don't care nothing about me. It's amazing that people can't go to church with hypocrites. Now they can go to the casino with hypocrites. They can go to the ball game with... Do you think anybody, everybody at the ball game is 100% sincere in what they're doing there? Do you? Well, I can't go there because it's got hypocrites there. Go to the ball game. Got hypocrites there, doesn't it, brother? I can't go. They're hypocrites, but you can't go to the church. Got hypocrites there. Of course, my stock answer is this: I'd rather go to church with them than go to hell with them. Huh? But I've been studying this for a while. I want to ask another question. You see, Galatians 6:6 says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap?" Now my question is, instead of blaming the hypocrites on the church not caring nothing about you, I got another question. Possibly, have you been willing to spend time to build a relationship? See, I can't weep with you if I don't know you. I can't rejoice with you if I don't know you. So instead of blaming the hypocrites in the church, and by the way, there are some. Not denying that at all. They're everywhere you go. Seclude yourself. Be hired, Jews, and hide, I reckon. Because they're everywhere you go. But ask yourself, have I really put time into this? You see, relationships take what? Time and fellowship with one another and with God is built into this thing called time. So we can reap what we sow. Boy, I love to read these passages right here. You see, I want to be in that kind of fellowship, don't you? Pure fellowship. It brings joy. I'll be through in just a minute. Acts 4:23. You see, this thing has some pluses to it. There is a plus side to this. I think it's all a plus side to it myself, but verse 23, and being let go, Acts 4 and 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And verse 31 tells us what God did. He filled them all with the Holy Spirit. But look at me. Here's what happened. James and or Peter and John got in trouble preaching the gospel. You'll do that occasionally. In fact, if you please everybody, you probably hadn't preached. And they were told not to preach no more. The problem with that is Jesus had told them to go to all the world and preach the gospel. And they were beaten and flogged and threatened. And then when they were let go, there's something very telling here. They knew exactly where to run to. They didn't go to the grocery store. They didn't drop down and get ice cream gone. They went exactly where they needed to go to find the church. Y'all with me? Do you see the truth here? They knew where to find the church. And they didn't have to run in there and say, hi, my name is Peter. I'm an apostle. And this is John. He is also an apostle. And we are in trouble. Look at me. They were one with each other. They knew where to go to find the church. The church knew what was going on. And they began to fall down immediately and to pray for them and for this situation. Where'd that all start? I'll say to you, it started in Acts chapter 2. Now here's today's method. When somebody has a terrible problem or things are not going well, let's all close our eyes, raise our hands, and we've got to get in one accord. We've got to do enough calisthenics around here to get God's attention, and we've got to get in accord. Listen to me. You ready for it? They were in one accord before the situation arose. And they were in one accord before the situation arose, and they didn't have to take time to work it up. They already love one another. I love the Bible, don't y'all? They didn't have to try to produce something on the spur of the moment because they was in a bind. No. 10,000 times no. They were in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and they were in fellowship one with another because they took time from house to house to break bread and to fellowship with one another, to break bread around the Word of God and to fellowship around the Word of God. They took time. And because of it, when the need arose, they did not have to try to work up unity in one accord. It existed. And because it existed, friend, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And they could weep with those who weep, and they would rejoice with those who rejoice. I want to ask you, I want to ask me, are you willing to invest time in having fellowship in the local church that when you need people to support you in prayer and to undergird you, they'll have a heart for you because they know you? That's what we need. Amen. That's what we need. The one accord of unified prayer already existed before the need arose. Hello? Only God can do this. And it won't happen automatic. It won't happen overnight, but it'll happen because we put the right seed in the ground and let it grow. Would you be willing to start today? Don't say, well, I will if they will. No, 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 it ain't going to happen. Would you be willing to put the time in to fellowship with God and with each other? Oh, we're going to start another program, preacher. No, we're not. You can do what we ought to do. Amen? Love one another. Greet one another. Pray for one another. Because we have an eternity with each other. Stand with me. Maybe there's some darkness you walk.